Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deed, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek, for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Craig Lucas.
You an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga, we're back.
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book tomorrow?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Scorch's Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashad. I want to teach you with the ISBHPK, that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We're located at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110, being the zip code here. I'd like to welcome you to our broadcast. We normally broadcast our Blog Talk radio shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays from usually 8:30 in the morning to about 10, but in lieu of, there were a lot of events that happened last night that took place, that forces that to push the time back a little bit. We were almost in class, almost at council this morning because some things going on. But and going back over the scriptures and getting my mind back right again, the safety for Israel, the safety for us as Israelites is to do the most will. Make sure that at all costs and all means that the Most High's will be done, the Most High's pleasure be done, the Most High be first in our thoughts. If he's first in our thoughts, then the Most High is going to give the protection, he gives the safety, he gives the healing that's needed to require, especially to live in these last days. So I just, please forgive the late start this morning. There were a lot of events that did happen last night. I'm not going to any specifics, and he wanted to embarrass anybody about what might have happened, what might have been going on. But last night was a very peculiar night in that I want to say it started around 11, I guess, maybe, or 12. Just started getting a lot of phone calls, one after the other, of just different emergencies that were taking place, different things that was happening all across the city. Needless to say, it was a very late night. Needless to say, it was a very late night or early morning, however you want to look at it, however you want to describe it. It was very mentally and spiritually demanding what was going on last night. And to have so many different phone calls with so many different people, it was a lot going on, a lot going on. So we're getting class started a little bit late. Again, we are at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. We do have classes every Tuesday and Thursday with the blog talk. I will continue that even as I do plan, most I will, to take my children back to San Antonio. I will make sure in doing my part that blog talk from San Antonio, wherever I'm at, will continue. All right, the blog talk will definitely continue on Tuesdays and Thursdays and probably Saturdays to make sure that the teaching is going out, to make sure the Most High is being pleased and he's giving his. As you know, you can always catch classes either on YouTube with ISBHPK Houston or ISBHPK Live. Right? You can always catch a class every day, 7 days a week. If you log on to ISBHBK Live, we ask you to like, share, subscribe to that channel, or ISBHBK Norfolk Live. All right, that's ISBHBK Norfolk Live. That's 7 days out the week. These brothers send me out of Houston and are sent to Norfolk to keep the work of the Most High going. That they made sure that 7 days a week, there's a class going on 7 days out the week that you can log on to YouTube and be able to catch them and check them out. So again, we ask you to go to the YouTube channel, like, share, and subscribe to ISBHBK Live, and also ISBHBK Norfolk Live. We ask you to like, share, subscribe, and hit the notification buttons to each one of those pages, that those brothers make sure the teaching of the Most High is going out 7 days out the week. All right. If you're in the Houston area, we ask you to join them at the school at 8524. South Graysville Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071, being the zip code there. And again, you can catch a live YouTube class 7 days out the week on ISBHBK Live or ISBHBK Norfolk Live. We can also join the classes there in Houston Mondays and Wednesdays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It should be 7 p.m. To 9 p.m. Be it right. From 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mondays and Wednesdays, there at the Houston School, and again on Fridays from 6 to 9. They also do the Sabbath class and ceremonies with the prayers and the coming together, reading of the Torah for Sabbath class every Saturday from 10 a.m. To 2 p.m. And again, that's at the school there in Houston, 8524 South Bridge Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071, being the zip code there. And again, we ask you to like, share, and subscribe to ISBHPK Live, ISBHBK Norfolk Live, the Israelite School of Biblical History, Practical Knowledge, 5 Minutes of Wisdom, and ISBHBK Kids. Like, share, subscribe to all these sources so that you might be aware and always be able to catch some type of class, some type of teaching is being produced now 7 days out the week. All right, they're on YouTube. On Saturdays, we also invite you to, if you're in the Houston area, Comcast Houston Cable Channel number 17. Comcast Houston Cable Channel number 17, or HMSTV.org, if you go through the web, and cast the public access show called The Hidden Truth. It's a one-hour Bible show that the brothers do produce there in Houston. That's every Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock p.m. Houston time. HMSTV.org, please cast Your Hidden Truth. Don't miss out, all right? In San Antonio, you know, we have a school in San Antonio also. It's located at 4219 Centigate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. I believe they have classes on Tuesday through Thursday from 7 to 10, and then on Fridays from 8 to 11. We invite you to go and check them out as they hold down class. And then also in Norfolk, we have class at, as the brother Kizaki just opened a new school there, 2610 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23517, being the zip code there. And we invite you to join them for class on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Local time there in Norfolk. That's Eastern Standard Time there in Norfolk. We invite you to check them out. If you're in the Albuquerque area, the brothers have classes at the Way of Creation Institute number 1. The Way of Creation Institute number 1, which is located at 6609 Lummis Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87010, being the zip code there also. Check out their website, www.wayofcreation.com. Study of self, study of life, meditation, contemplation, and self-transformation. If you'd like any information to any of these schools that I mentioned, please contact me, area code 210-784-8463. And whichever area you might be in, I can get you connected to the teachers there in those particular places. With all that being said, and as time keeps on ticking into the future, and one thing I wanted to go over to this morning was I titled today's class, Do No Evil and No Harm Shall Come to Thee. Do no evil and no harm shall come to thee. And again, as we're living in these last days, as Hebrew Israelites, that one thing that the Most High is going to force us to do is come together and do His righteousness. Come together and do what's right in His eyes. As you might have listened to any of my broadcasts or any of my shows that I've done before, one thing I do like to stress is going into the prophecies. But not so much the prophecies of the political scene that's, of America. Not so much the prophecies I'm repeating myself, the geopolitical state of the world, or the earthquakes and the weather anomalies that are in the world today. But I like to go to the prophecies as far as from the scriptures, where it does say that I can pull that up. I need to pull it up. One thing I do like to go into is one saying that's in the world is, if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. Now, if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. But one thing I would just add to that is, when we go through the scriptures and we read the scriptures, that history does repeat itself. All right? That history, it really does repeat itself. And that everything is on a cycle. Right? Everything is on a cycle. This is why, again, if we look at some of the things that Christ even said about as far as you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears, all right? That the cycle of that tree, that you can tell that the type of fruit it brings forth, tell you the type of tree it is because of the cycles of that tree. From whatever season that tree might give fruit, it's seasonal. And in those cycles, it's going to keep bringing forth the same actions. It's going to keep bringing forth the same fruit. That's a law of nature. When I say law of nature, I do mean that's a law of the Most High, that everything is on a cycle, all right? Everything is definitely on a cycle. So as I pull the scripture up, most of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Most of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. The first chapter, and I'm going to start at verse 1. All right, I'm going to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. I'm going to start at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. And I'm joined by the brother Ahmad. As we're here again at our school, 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110 being the zip code here. We're going to start today, this morning's lesson, with Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read down. So if I'll ask you, Brother Ahmad, if you can read that for me.
Yeah. Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Verse 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity.
All right, so we understand that the preacher here is talking about King Solomon. All right, and he's just dropping wisdom. We know that one thing the Most High blessed Solomon with was the greatest wisdom on the planet Earth. And again, the greatest wisdom on the planet Earth wasn't the technology that he had access to as much as it was the wisdom of how to please the Most High. And the wisdom of what it takes to please the Most High and be in order with the Most High, that all this was given to Solomon. And Solomon, and it was given to him at a young age. And we know that I'm not sure who's in the tone right now. All right, hello. It was given to him at a young age. All right, and in his older age, we know that Solomon developed a curiosity about how the other gods are worshipped and why they have power and why the people give themselves over to these different gods, knowing that from his youth, he'd been given to the Most High. He'd been given his mind, his spirit, his body to only serve the Most High. And he had developed a curiosity about why would anybody want to serve anything else besides the Most High? Why would anybody want to why would they be giving themselves over to these other gods, these other influences? And he was curious about it, and he gave himself over to it. He really did serve these other gods. And it was from his serving of the other gods that the kingdom split as a consequence of his actions. That not during his time, but during his son's time, that the kingdom of Israel split into two separate kingdoms because of the wickedness that King Solomon had started to participate in, and thereby having the rest of Israel participate in the same type of evils, the same type of a negative of worshiping the other gods and checking them out as opposed to staying to the Most High. So in all this, Solomon also wrote Ecclesiastes. Proverbs, a lot of Ecclesiasticus, that he wrote a lot of wisdom, right? That he dropped a lot of wisdom, a lot of jewels on us. So here he's just kind of giving us his thoughts and letting us know that everything's vanity, all right? That everything's worthless when it comes down to it. And he's going to just be expounding on some of these type of things as we go take this journey with King Solomon. All right, so verse 3, please.
Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 1, verse 3. What profit hath the man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun?
All right, so Solomon was coming back even with the realization that, so what does the profit of man, all the work that a man does, man lives to be 90 years old. How much work will this man put in his whole life? All right? And he says, for what profit? Basically, this was Solomon. Approximately 5,000 years ago, where's the year 2000? About 3,000 years ago, had come to the conclusion of what a lot of people come to today is you can't take it with you. All right, that when you die, you can't take it with you. That you can work your butt off, you can work your tail off, but in the end, you can't take it with you. So Solomon is like, so what profit hath the man of all his labor which he had taken under the sun? That people, you raise up for years, every day doing the same routine, every day going to work, every day put in labor, whether you're a blacksmith trying to horseshoes, or whether you're a banker, or whether you're a king. You put a lot of labor in it. Whatever it is, your profession, your job, your administration, whatever it is that you're doing, you're putting in a lot of work. You're putting in a lot of labor. But for what profit? That in the end, you're still going to die. And in the end, who's going to benefit from your work? All right? Reading on, verse 4.
Verse 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever.
So he says, so if we put this in context, he says, so what profit hath a man of all his labor which he has taken under the sun? Because one generation comes, one generation passes away, you die, and somebody else comes and takes your place, then they die. And somebody comes and takes their place. And the earth is still here. So all the work that a man does, what's it for? All the work that a man does, what's it for? Knowing this, knowing that Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, we had to go, there. Excuse me. It relates to us that the wages of sin is death. That when we sinned as Adam, and we threw away paradise, we threw away immortality, we threw away righteousness, we threw away immortality. So now you're born, you live, and you die. And that's not how the Most High created us from the very beginning. From the very beginning, the Most High created us to be immortal. He created us to be righteous. But once we entered into sin and started participating in all that sin had to offer, that was the wages that we got for our sin. The wages or the payback that we now receive for sin was death. Whereas from the very beginning, it wasn't meant to be that we were supposed to die. It wasn't supposed to be meant to be on this cycle where now you live, you're born, you live, and then you die. And for what reason? Where does it go to? For what cause? All right, so that's why he said it's all vanity, that when we sinned and did that and brought death into the world, that this was the cycle we started. This was the consequences of our actions. Then now you're going to work your butt off all your life to just do what? Just to die. And you can't take it with you. And most of the earth is still here. It's going to be here. And this is why so many people, we get a midlife crisis syndrome going on, that for men, it's a midlife crisis. I'm old, I'm young, do I still have it? And I got to see if I still got it. Do I still got my youth, whatever? So we had to go out and get the brand new sports car. We had to go out and find a young chick, or whatever, in our midlife crisis, in our depression, in our sorrow that we might experience. For a woman, she goes to her stages. Menopause or what have you. Talk about her biological clock is ticking. We're the ones who started this and got ourselves into this mindset that now once the wages of sin is death, then now your life is for what? Then and a lot of us get the feeling of I want to leave a legacy. You know, like LeBron James. I want to leave a basketball legacy. I want to leave something that people know I was here. That my life mattered. I'm sorry.
Yeah, footprint.
I want to leave my footprint.
Right.
I want something to know and leave my mark that I was here, that it wasn't for nothing.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, once we sinned, your life became about nothing. All right? The wages of sin being death. All right? That once sin entered into the world among the Israelites or the Adamites at the time, that your life became vain. You're going to die. You can be born, you're going to live, and you're going to die. But that is not how the Most High created us from the very beginning. In the very beginning, he said, let us make man in our image. The Most High is immortal. So he made us in the beginning to be immortal. But once we sinned, the wages of sin is death. We brought this upon ourselves. And then now we started this cycle. You're born, you live, you die. And now the worry of, does my life matter? Now the worry of, what's my purpose? Now the worry of, is anybody going to know that I was here? That I was, that I mattered, that I was significant. So now you see us going through all type of changes. from, okay, let me go ahead and get a sex change, become an actor, an actress. Let me get myself over to drugs. Let me get myself over to, I will be the best worker in my job. And I want to get this award and that award and recognition. That's the one thing that we're all after right now. I want some type of recognition. I want to be recognized for the work I do. I want to be recognized and acknowledged that I matter. So from a Grammy to Academy Award to an Emmy to a Golden Globe, whatever it might be, the professional sports trophy, the gold medals, the blue ribbons, that I need something to recognize I was here. I need something to be known I did something, that my life mattered. Even with the saying of Black Lives Matter now, why is this that push even here? Again, because if we come back and understand what Psalm was talking about, it's all vain. Once we sinned, everything became vanity. And now we work hard to try and leave our mark. As the brother of mine just said, leave a footprint. But for what? The time soon comes, you're going to die. Because we sinned. We brought that sin on. Our wage for sin, our payback, for our compensation for sinning is death. That's all there is to it. We started these cycles. And then we put a lot of spirit and effort and time, and I'm trying to make sure I matter, but we don't try and make sure we're right with the Most High. We don't put the energy to make sure I'm right with the Most High. We put the energy into making sure I'm recognized as a good American dad, a good American husband. This is why we have the mentality of I need to party like it's 1999. That I need to you only live once. Seize the day, carpe diem. That I want to live life to the fullest. Live every day like it's your last. Why would you have that mentality if from the very beginning the Most High managed to be immortal? If from the very beginning the Most High managed to be immortal to where you could enjoy all His creation. All His creation. You can enjoy life. But once we sin, and the ways of sin, the consequences for our sins being death, now tomorrow's not promised. So you better seize the day. You better get the most out of the day you possibly can. And this is why we feel like I don't want to live a boring life. I don't want to live a stale life. I have a bucket list. Why do people have bucket lists? That before I kick the bucket, I want to make sure I get this done. Before I kick the bucket, I want to experience this. I want to experience that. I want to go through this before I kick the bucket. You even have a charity organization set up called what's up with the kids? They give them the last wish. Or they grant them where if they want to see their favorite celebrity before they die, make a wish. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, that you have charity organizations dedicated to before somebody dies, that their last wish, whatever it might be, that it might be fulfilled. If it's to meet their favorite celebrity, favorite sports star, if it's to drive in a Formula One space car, if it's to take an airplane ride, that you have people dedicated their lives and dedicated their expenses and their finances, whatever, into making sure that, look, before this child dies, we want to give them one last wish. We want to make sure that before they die and go into the great unknown, they had a chance to experience this, that, or whatever. That's not how the Most High created us from the very beginning. That is not how it's supposed to be. But once we sin, our payback, our recompense, our compensation, our wages for sinning is now death. So again, we're the ones who brought this doom and dread and gloom upon ourselves because we participate in sin. We participate in doing negative. We participate in doing wrong in the eyes of God. And we would think that sin from all these generations that have passed, from time that Adam sinned until now, you would think that we would have learned the lesson. Damn. Since they sinned, all we get is death. Nobody. I don't care. And we watch movies now. Now that the movie industry is up and popping, where it's about trying to find immortality, about trying to find the fountain of life. When the conquistadors came from Spain, what were they looking for? The city of El Dorado, not only the city of gold, but the fountain of life, the fountain of youth. And all the children's stories from Peter Pan to whatever, how can we live forever? How do we find the magic elixir, find the magic drink, the magic water, the magic potion, that now we can live forever? But why is that on everybody's mind so heavy? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Because of what we've done and what we did, we know the time is coming. We're going to die. But is that how the Father originally made things for us as Israelites? Made us for as the Adamites? No, we were never supposed to experience death. We were supposed to live forever. But now that we want to experience all the different influences in the world, we want to experience all the different gods and all the different things that are to experience and taste and partake in the world, now our payback, again, the consequence for doing these things is death. And then, again, that doom and that dread, it rides a lot of us heavy. That doom and that dread, it just consumes us. And it's supposed to. That's your wages. Why are there unions set up across the world? Why are there workers, employees, unions set up across the world? To make sure that after you put this amount of work in, you get this wage. You get this pay. You get this compensation for the work you've done. And you have a union representative that will stand there and fight for you, a union advocate that will come and make sure that this person, you did this amount of work, you deserve this amount of benefits or this amount of pay or this amount of recompense, this amount of compensation. That these are your wages for the work you've done. Well, damn, you can understand that in the world. How is it you don't understand that the wages of sin is death? Your payback for doing negative, we're going to die. And this is why Solomon said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has the man of all his labor, which he has taken under the sun? All the work you do to make sure, again, from us being, am I a good father? Am I a good husband? Am I a good sister? Am I a good wife? Am I a good person? Am I this? You put all your energy into that as opposed to, let me get back right with God. Let me get back right with the Most High. So I'm trying to meet the standard that America sets for whatever it might be. I'm trying to meet the standard for what the world sets as, again, me being a male, am I a good man in the eyes of the world? Am I a good father since I have children in the eyes of the world? Am I a good husband in the eyes of the world? I'm not worried about am I being a good person with the Most High. I'm using my measure, and my standard is the world standard. And everybody in the world is going to die anyway. Their opinion really doesn't matter. But I spend so much time trying to meet that standard and meet and live up to that measure that I forgot this about me measuring up to the Most High. So again, Solomon says what? So what profit has a man of all his labor? Would he have taken under the sun? That the wages of sin is death. You're not going to escape it. One generation comes, and one generation passes away, another one comes. But the earth is going to stand forever. What is going to be left on earth to say you were ever here? Is it going to be a tombstone? You're going to get a library named after you. You're going to get a street named after you. What is going to be here to represent that you were ever here, that you mattered? That you weren't just a speck in time. That worry being on a lot of people. That thought mindset process being on a lot of people. But why? Again, because the wages of sin is what? Death. Why are we not putting that energy in to make sure the Most High is getting pleased? But we let the worry, the doom, the despair, the gloom, the depression, the terror, the horror consume us. because I want to make sure my life matters. And again, we forget, being here in America, what is the Most High call America? The Valley of Death. America represents the pale horse of Revelation. There's nothing but death and gloom here, and hell is here. That's all this place has to offer. But I spend so much time trying to make sure my life matters in hell. I try to spend a lot of time making sure my life matters and I'm recognized in hell. I want to be recognized at my job. I need this commendation. I need this medal. I need this star by my name. I need all these types of things so I say I matter. That I'm not doing this for nothing. But the truth of the matter is, it is all for nothing. If the work you're doing is not helping you get close to the Most High and you're vibing the Most High, yes, your life doesn't matter. Yes, you're spending your life in vain. You're wasting your life. You're not making choices to make sure you matter with the Most High. Read what you got one more time, please.
Got it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse, we were in 5. You want me to read 4 again?
4 is good.
Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4 in the Bible. Pause for a second. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Verse 5.
Right.
Verse 5. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. Verse 6. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again.
And if we look for all the examples that are being given, that there's a cycle to everything. There's a cycle to everything. And again, the reason I came into this chapter in the first place was talking about some of the prophecies that I like to try and bring out. And let me get my mind back to what why we even came in the first place. It's kind of like a show that even history repeats itself. All right? That even history does repeat itself. And I wanted to establish this as we're going to finish reading some more of these verses, that if you don't study and be aware of the Most High's time and the Most High's cycles and the cycle of things, If you're not aware, and because you're more worried about making sure you leave your mark on this world, this wicked world, but you're not trying to make sure you're right with the Creator of everything. You're not putting the time and energy to make sure you're right with the Father. But you're more worried about, did you make the latest concert? You're more worried about your social media status. You're more worried about, do my kids think I love them, even though I spoiled the shit out of them? Or am I right with the Father? If you're thinking about these type of things, but not thinking about, are you right with the Creator of everything? Then yes, your life is spent in vain. Your life is worthless. And then to come back now and have this knowledge that we're the Israelites. To get back and find out that we can now please God. We can have the right knowledge of what it takes to please the Most High. And we don't take advantage of that. You damn right your life is a waste. Yes, those thoughts that you have, that I'm wasting my life, I'm wasting my time, are proper thoughts. Because you are. You have we're getting the knowledge of the Most High. Of what it takes to please Him. And if we don't use it, you deserve to have all the fear and dread and gloom and doom that God has that God can pour out to you. You deserve that. You have earned that. That is your wage. Because there's plenty of people in the world who don't have the same knowledge, understanding, or access to the same knowledge, understanding that you have, you have it but won't use it, then you should be consumed with dread, gloom, horror. The scripture says we're supposed to study so we might be able to give an answer of the hope that's in us. I'm supposed to be studying and so I can show people this is why I have a positive outlook. This is why I have good. This is why whatever I'm going through, I can be positive about it because I know this will please the Most High. Here, let me show you. Go to the scripture. Yeah, the reason I'm going through some distress right now. I'm going through some things right now because the scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But you know what? In going through this, I know. But by me going through this, being patient, me going through this, enduring, me going through this with these scriptures, I know this will please the Most High. So I can do like Paul said. I can glory in my infirmities. I can glory in my afflictions. I can glory in this because I understand this is now my wage for righteousness. This now, I'm going to be paid back righteousness. That for me doing right by the Most High, I'm going to get his protection. I'm going to get his safety. I'm going to get long life. I'm going to be okay. Because my wage now, what I'm going to be paid back, what I'm going to be compensated with, what I'm going to receive is everlasting life. I get this. So I can glory. And no different. How is a person glorying working overtime at a job? Because they know what? I'm going to get that bonus. Man, I might not be able to. My weekend is taken up. I'm going to get a little bit of sleep. I'm going to work some long hours. But for what? At the end of the 2 weeks when I get my paycheck, that bonus is going to be worth it. That bonus. That now I'm going to be able to go do this. Now I'm going to be able to go and do that. Because why? I put the extra work in. I put the extra time in. I made the extra sacrifice so that now I can enjoy the fruit of my labors. You understand that concept all day long when it comes to the American financial system and society. But you refuse to put that same mentality to the Most High. You refuse to accept that same line of thinking when it comes to God. But you can definitely grasp that when it comes to the white man and his society. When it comes to Esau and this society. So read the last verse again where we were at.
Verse 7, Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 1, verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again.
And again, everything's on a cycle. So if you're not studying to see the cycle, how the Most High has things going, that you might know what time we're living in, then I can see why so many people don't have hope. I can see why so many people, all you see is despair and gloom. And what about me? And I'm going through this. And I'm going through that. And how we... I get it. You have no hope because you don't study. Or what you put your hope in, your paycheck, your job, your party and lifestyle, whatever the hell it might be, you put hope in those things, but you don't put hope in the Most High. And all those other things dry up. The hope in them other things dries up. And you stuck with your twiddling your thumbs wondering, what can I do? What about me? Oh, my. Boo-hoo-hoo. 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 Okay. All right. There's a cycle to everything. Reading on.
Verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 in the Bible. The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. I'm sorry, verse 8. We didn't read verse 8. I'm sorry. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Since the wages of sin came in, there's no new thing under the sun. But because we refuse to study and get on God's time and understand how the Most High is doing things, we're lost. We don't have a clue. So our lives are spent in that much more vanity. Our lives are spent in that much more worthlessness. Let's get Ecclesiastes, same book, chapter 3, the start of verse 1.
We're really letting that one go?
Yeah.
Okay, verse 9.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
I don't know how much more clear it can get. There's a time and place for everything. And people in the world even understand this. They say things like this. Don't know that mentality came from the Bible. Time and chance, the time and place happens to everything and everyone. I'm sorry, read again.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
There's a place and time for everything under heaven. Read.
A time to be born.
And now he's going to go through this list. There's a time to be born. Read.
And a time to die.
Yes.
A time to plant. And a time to plug up that which is planted.
But if you ain't studying to be aware of the Most High's time, you have no clue. You'll be that much more lost in everything. When it's time to be born, you dying. But when it's time to die, you trying to be born. You off. There's time to plant. Then it's just time to pull up. Because you ain't studying how the Most High does things at all. You're that much more lost. Your life is spent that much more in vain. Your life really doesn't matter that much more. You don't get it. Read on.
A time to kill.
What verse we in?
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 3. A time to kill and a time to heal.
I mean, damn. There's time to kill and there's time to heal. But if you don't know what if you're not aware of the Most High's time, you're not aware of the Most High's seasons, you ain't going to know. You're going to be a bumbling, clumsy idiot when it comes to the Most High. Reading on.
A time to break down. And a time to build up.
A time to break down and a time to build up. But if you're not aware of the Most High's time and his cycle, how things are done, you ain't going to know what to do. You can go back and read in the scriptures, reading our history. There's a time the Most High wanted us to go to war. And if we went to war when he said go, we won. But if we decided, no, I'm going to chill right now. I got other things that are going on. I'm not going to go to war right now. All right, cool. Your enemies come, defeated you. Then we say, all right, cool, no. Now it's time to go to war. But you had many of the prophets, Moses, whatever. You're like, nope, Most High with you. This ain't the time. No, but we're going to do it. Now we're going to do it. Now I'm ready to go fight. But when the Most High said fight, you had other things going on. Got defeated. Now the Most High said, I'm not with you. But now you're like, well, now I'm ready. I'm going to go fight now. You out the spirit. When the Most High said fight, no, you had something else going on. Now you're ready to fight, and now the Most High is supposed to adjust everything to you because now you're ready. Now all hell's breaking loose that when you were getting the warnings, no, it was the time for whatever you were thinking about. It wasn't time to do what the Most High was saying. Now all hell, doom, gloom is breaking forth, and it's like, now we gotta do something now. Now I'm ready. Most of them left. That time, that season, opportunity, done. But now you're ready. The Most out of moving your time. But that would be understandable for somebody who's studying. That'd be understandable for those who study. Real quick, give me Ecclesiastes, I think it's 4 and 6, in the Apocrypha. Holding this because I'm going to come back to it.
Ecclesiastes 4 and 6, I got it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6 in the Apocrypha. For if he cursed thee in the bitterness of his soul.
Oh, that's not it. I always spell opportunity.
Opportunity. OPPORTUNITY. Opportunity.
It's 4:20. 4:20. I'm sorry.
4:20.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 20.
Page 73, read Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 20. Observe the opportunity and beware of evil. And be not ashamed when it concerneth thy soul.
Right. So here, again, we're giving instructions. You better observe the opportunity. What does the Most High have open right now? Are you being observant to what the Most High's time period is? Are you being observant to how the Most High is operating? Or are you stuck on you? How you feel, what you think. There's a way to say right to a man, but then there are the ways of death. It seems like a good idea to you, but you don't study. It seems right to you. You don't pick the book up. So, like our forefathers, most of us said, go to war. No, I ain't feeling it. I don't want to. My wife is bitching. My kids want to go to Disneyland. So, can we postpone it? All right, most of us here right now. Yeah, have me excused. Cool. Oh, shit. They came and took all our stuff. All hell's breaking loose. We need to do something about that. We got to fight. This ain't the time to fight right now. Most I ain't with that. No, but now we got to do it. Look, we got to do something. Look. Ha! Why didn't you observe the opportunity? Why were you not aware of evil? That when the Most High, the door was open with the Most High, that was the time to move, but you let evil get you caught up. You weren't aware of the time. Now that door is closed, and now you go run and bang on it, like Noah with the ark. There was a time you could have been helping Noah with the ark and been on the ark with Noah, but for whatever distraction you got caught up with, Noah and his family having been on the ark on a day that nobody thought about, on a day that nobody was considering, the Most High closed the door. That opportunity was done. Forget about it. And you could have ran top speed to the ark from whatever journey, trip you was on, got to the ark, and it was raining, first time ever. And you're pounding on the door, but guess what? The door is closed. The opportunity you had to be saved, to be good, you chose not to follow it. You chose something else. Now when the death is here, now somebody's going to feel sorry for you? Now death, dread, gloom is here. The rain is here, and now somebody's supposed to feel sorry for you. Why weren't you aware of the evil? Why weren't you aware of the Most High's time? Observe the opportunity. And it says, do what?
Observe the opportunity, chapter 4, verse 20, Ecclesiastes. Says, observe the opportunity and beware of evil.
Man.
And be not ashamed when it concerneth thy soul.
If you're doing something to save your soul, you shouldn't be ashamed knowing that this is going to be your salvation. You would think that people that they would have, if you're going to get a tattoo, you think this would be a tattoo people would get. And be not ashamed when it concerneth thy soul. Not your flesh. Not your physical being. That I smoke this and I drink this and I do this and I act like this because it makes my body feel good. It makes me feel good. But what's it doing for your soul? You're not supposed to be ashamed when it concerns your soul. man, we had the party and everybody was smoking, and I didn't want nobody to talk about me, so I went and smoked too. You know, I'm hanging out with the wrong group of people, and they be smoking and doing evil, but not me. Why the fuck are you around them? I was in high school once. I remember the first time I was offered weed, it was sixth grade. Jackson Middle School, behind the track, there was a gate that led into the residential area. And so we got off school grounds, and it was me and two other boys, sixth grade. And I was offered weed the first time in sixth grade. That would have been 1970. No, I'm going to get it right. 87 is 12. So go back 12 years. That's 77. 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83. 83. Well, I mentioned 83. There's a, in the sixth grade, I was off of weed, Jackson Middle School. I bring that up because you can be sitting in a car with somebody else smoking weed and get a contact high. It's not that you actually took the joint, the weed, the bong, the pipe, the vape, whatever it is you people do now. And as you actually put that device or that thing to your actual lips, but just being in the car, just being around those people, you will get what they call a contact high. Why are there so many federal buildings that have, this is a smoke-free building? Because they know the dangers of what? What do they call it? Secondhand smoke? They understand and know the dangers of secondhand smoke. But you and your wisdom, I don't be doing what they be doing, but I be around them. It's not me. It's them. What the hell are you talking about? What stupid, dumb logic do you really think you're coming with?
Even the cops will tell you you're guilty by association. You was with them, so.
If you're in a stolen car, you can be in the. If it's a Suburban with the third row, you are as far from the steering wheel as you can be in a vehicle. When the cops stop that stolen stolen car, even though you are the furthest away from the steering wheel, there's absolutely no way you can reach the brake, the gas, or the gear shift. And you got your seatbelt on. Read the Bible in this stolen vehicle. Where are you still going? You're still going to jail. Because you're guilty by association. But somehow now, I hang around this group of people, but I don't do what they do. Again, you got to be one of those people who don't study, because Abraham said, if there's 10 righteous people in the city, will you save it? It went from 50 down to 10. So that means that there was 9 righteous people in the city. Did those righteous people get destroyed? Did those people get destroyed in the city? I'm referring to Sodom and Gomorrah. Being guilty by association. But somehow that, you, in your mindset, in your reasoning, in your logic, you don't see how the Most High sees it. You want to argue and defend yourself that that I wasn't doing it. I was just around them. They were doing it. You obviously are illiterate, ignorant, or just an idiot. And you think you're going to be able to run your mouth to the Most High. You might be able to run your mouth around other idiots that listen to that idiotic reasoning. And they might be stupid enough, not caring about your soul, to tell you, oh, well, you know, yeah, you're right. I can see how that could happen. You're right. I can see how, even though the Most High says guilty by association, and a man will cleave to his like, and curse be the man who be around ungodly people. I said the Most High, but I can see how you know. Yeah, you're with them at the club, at the bar, doing whatever. It's not. Are you reading scriptures to them? Are y'all having Bible study? Oh, you can't because they're drinking, they're partying, doing all types of negative, and you're just there. Are you dressed up for the club? Oh, but you're there. And you just happen to have a drink or two also. But you're there. But you're not doing like and what they do. And you have somebody who cares nothing about your soul, accepting you say that bullshit. Somebody who obviously is illiterate, ignorant, or another damn idiot. Who does not care about your spirit for nothing. Observe the opportunity. And beware of evil. And be not ashamed when it concerneth thy soul. That if it's about your salvation and be right with the Most High, why do you give a damn about what anybody else thinks if they're not following the Most High? Or is that just a piss poor excuse you give to an idiot to accept you're not going to be right by the Most High? That it wasn't me. Ain't that one of our favorite songs from early hip-hop days?
Right. It wasn't me.
That was on Eddie Murphy, one of Eddie Murphy's concert tapes.
That was before the song came out.
That comedy skit came out before the song. It wasn't me. Wasn't me. Well, I saw you. Wasn't me. Well, maybe it wasn't. Observe the opportunity and beware of evil and be not ashamed when it concerneth thy soul. That's what the scripture says. That's what the Most High says. That's what somebody who's studying is going to make sure they keep in their head. All is vanity. There's a time and place for everything. Am I aware of what time it is? Am I considering how the Most High sees things? Am I looking at how the Most High is dealing with my soul, my spirit? Or is this all about my flesh? Before we came here, what scripture were we at?
Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 3, verse 3.
Let's pick that up again.
A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up.
There's a time for everything. And if you're not with the Most High, you're not going to know what the hell's going on. Read.
A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing.
Damn. There's a time a person needs a hug This time, like, no, hell no, you ain't getting no damn hug. You were stupid. But no, I'm not studying, so I'm just thinking, come here, give me a hug, come on. Yeah, kumbaya, my lord. Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug. That's one of my favorite Chris Farley comedy skits also. If I just hug, everything's going to be okay. Are you stupid? I'm sorry. Are you ignorant? Illiterate? Or just plain idiotic? It's time to, no, a hug ain't going to, this ain't time for hugs. This ain't time for rub and pat your head. And make sure you don't feel bad.
So open rebuke at that time is better than secret love.
You're damn right. But I'm not studying, so I don't know when to apply the scripture. I don't know how or when to apply the scripture. So I'm driving people further into death than I am pulling them into life. I'm making sure that their life now is also vanity. I'm now making sure that their life is a waste of time when it comes to the Most High. Because I won't open the book up and study. That I might know what time the Most High has going on and what's needed. Ready on?
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 6. A time to get and a time to lose.
I'm tired of always losing. Maybe you should be studying. That there is a time in which I want you to lose. This ain't the truth. This can't be the Most High. For you, it's not the Most High. You're right. This ain't meant for me. You're right. If the scripture in the Bible is not, you're right. You go waste your life in vanity. You're 100. You need to go make sure you waste all of your time. You know, like our forefathers did in the wilderness, that 40 years. You bitch and complained about coming out to serve Moses' God. You bitch and complained because your wives were bitching and complaining about this and your children. What about them? So you listen to all that bullshit. You're right. And you forgot the Most I heard you. So for 40 years, what did you do? You wasted your life and your time for 40 years until you finally just walked and dropped dead. You're right. You're 100. Yeah, the Most High will let things like that happen. That when it's time to show faith, it's time to restrain, time to abstain, time to do the things that's right in the eyes of the Father, that's not important to you. So your life seems like a waste of time. That's on you. That's your choice. That's why I try to study as much as possible. So I know that the things I'm going through, I understand when it's time to sacrifice or when it's time to get. When it's time to hug, it's time to restrain from hugging. Let me observe the time of the Most High. Because I don't want my life feeling like I'm a waste. I want my life to matter with the Most High. Alright, what season are we in right now? Alright, what's the season? Everything's on a cycle. Then what season are we in? Let me go study. Observe the time so I know I'm right with the Father. Reading on.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 6. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to pass away.
Damn. Read.
A time to rend and a time to sow.
Rend means to tear something. There's time to tear shit apart, tear shit up. But then it's time to sow. Actually, let me mend it. Let me actually pull this back together. Read.
A time to keep silent.
There is a time to shut the hell up. Go ahead.
And a time to speak.
And there's a time to speak. Read.
A time to love.
There is a time to love. Go ahead.
And a time to hate.
I got to just keep showing love. What the? Maybe you do. Maybe that's what you need to do. But that ain't what the scripture says. It's time to love and a time to what?
Hey.
Read.
A time of war.
There is a time to go to war with someone. But it's concerning their soul. Read.
And a time of peace.
And it's time to be at peace. Read.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?
Going right back to what Psalm was bringing out in the first chapter. What profit is all the labor you're doing? If you don't know what time it is, then all the work you're doing is for what?
Nothing in your eyes.
In the eyes of the Father.
And the Most High, you're not concerned about him, so you are wasting your time. It has been...
Yeah. A complete waste of time. But who made it a waste of time? You did.
You did.
Then we get a chance to get your ass. I heard your alarm go off. But Wisdom of Solomon chapter 5. Starting with, can we get that real quick?
I got 10 minutes.
Let's do this real quick then. Let me get two scriptures. We'll get Wisdom of Solomon chapter 5, we'll start verse 1, and then I want Psalms chapter 116.
Wisdom of Solomon chapter 5.
And we'll start verse 1.
Got it.
We're going to start at Psalms, the 116th Psalms, we're going to start at verse 9.
Wisdom of Solomon first.
Yeah, Wisdom of Solomon first.
Wisdom of Solomon, the Apocrypha, chapter 5, verse 1, page 60, we read Apocrypha. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such that have afflicted him and made no account of his labors.
So is there a time when the righteous are going to be afflicted? Yep. Is there going to be a time when righteous men are doing right by the Most High and nobody's going to give account or think about it?
God.
Yep. Read.
Verse 2. When they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation. So far beyond all that they look for. And they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit shall say within themselves, this was he whom we had sometimes in derision and a proverb of reproach. We fools counted his life madness.
Doing all that stuff he's doing to save his soul? But it's about the flesh right now. You got to do what makes you feel good. If it feels good, do it. We
We counted his life for madness. We have concerts. We have drugs. We have drinking. We have partying. We have orgies. We have all types of things going on. Why are you not partaking? Why are you not doing this with us? Is Jesus here? You're one of them people. You have no life. Your life is boring. Read.
Verse 4 again. We fools counted his life madness and his end to be without honor.
Because, look, I got the drunk award. I got the slut award. I got I got another STD because I'm out here living it up. I'm doing it all. I'm living my life my way. And you, look at you. You're sitting there not experiencing nothing that life has to offer. Read.
Verse 5. How is he numbered among the children of God? And his lot is among the saints.
Read.
Therefore have we erred from the way of truth.
Therefore we have erred from the way of truth. Read.
And the light of righteousness hath not shined unto us. And the Son of Righteousness rose not upon us.
We are so far beyond from a righteousness. God's righteousness. What do you got to be that the sun don't hit you?
Shadows.
What kind of shadow, death, pit, valley, hole are you in that the sun's light don't get you? But you think you're right? Verse 7. I get, yeah, you, yeah.
You got the foil on the window so you can sleep in the daytime.
Right. keep God's righteousness away from me.
I'm a night creature. Verse 7. That's funny. Ecclesiastes chapter, Wisdom of Solomon chapter 5, verse 7. We wearied ourselves in the way of wickedness and destruction.
We wore ourselves out. Party. Just doing whatever. Damn sure not studying. Damn sure not keep your head in the book. What a tired. Well, I had to go do this. I had to go do that. I had to go check this out. I had to go get involved with this. I had to go check on these people. I had to go check on that people. I just had to. We wearied ourselves in the way of wickedness. Read.
We wearied ourselves in the way of wickedness and destruction. Yea, we have gone through deserts.
I've sacrificed to make sure I can get my wickedness in. If I had to sacrifice going to class, if I had to sacrifice studying, if I had to sacrifice physical size so I could go ahead and make sure that this party was going to be where I was going to be at, I'll go through that desert then. And it's funny how Las Vegas is where?
In the desert. Wow. In the desert.
Sin City is where?
In the desert.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Read.
Yeah, we have gone through deserts where there lay no way. But as for the way of the Lord, we have not known it.
Right.
What if pride profiteth us? Or what good have riches with our vaunting brought us?
I got everything I wanted but salvation. I wanted to worry about none of the Most High's time. Christ gets here. It's definitely getting close to that time. What are you going to say and do? The books are going to be open. You ain't going to be able to say or do anything because the books are going to be open. All your actions are being recorded anyway. Let's go to Psalm 16. We'll end this one. Psalm 16, verse 9.
Psalms chapter 16, verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad.
I'm sorry, 116. The 116th Psalm, I'm sorry.
Psalms 116 and verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, and therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows.
I'll do what?
I will pay my vows.
I'm going to pay my vows. The vows to the Most High. Not my vows to, well, I promised that I was going to be there, so I got to be there. I made a promise that I was going to be. It might break the Sabbath. It might break my holiday, but I made a promise to these other people that I was going to be there, and I can't be a liar. What about your vow to the Most High? Verse 14 says what?
Psalm 116, verse 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord.
Unto who?
Unto the Lord.
Now, I made a vow to myself. I'm not going to do this. I made a vow to this. I made a vow to that. But as far as my vow to the Most High, I'm going to be a good Israelite. Husband, father, brother. I'm going to be a good Israelite servant. Forget that vow. Read.
Now, in the presence of all his people, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
I wanted to read this. The sacrifices that the saints do for the Most High, the Most High says that's what?
Precious.
In the eyes of the Most High, that's precious. You're losing, dying, for the Most High. The Most High thinks that's precious. Again, that's for those who care about the Most High. That's for those that want to please the Most High. They have hope. They have understanding. The Most High is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you show towards his name. I say, I understand the sacrifices that I make for the Most High are precious to him. Verse 16, and we'll end it.
Psalms 116, verse 16. O Lord, truly, I am my servant.
Are we? Can you really, after the I, can you put your name there? In all sincerity and truthfulness? Can you say, oh Lord, if this is how King David, I'll say how King David would say it. Oh Lord, truly, I, King David, am thy servant. I, King David, am thy servant. He said it twice. And the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm not doing something for reward or credit. I want to make sure that somebody, you got to give me something now for what I'm doing. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. What do we have in verse 8 one more time?
Psalms verse 8. Psalms 16, verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul.
Verse 18.
I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people.
Why is David repeating the same statement? In this service. To the point where even when David committed adultery, what did the Most High do? Spared his life? He committed adultery and committed murder. With that, and again, it was such a rush. Last night was so drama filled and exhausting. I didn't even put fringes on. I don't have socks on. I'm not the type of man that should wear shoes and no socks. I'm gonna tell you that right now. But I had to make sure I got down here that this class is gonna get taught, and most of us will. There will be class taught again tonight, starting at 8:30. 8:30 tonight here at the school. Well, no, you can be at 8. If you want to open up and get your time in, that's cool. But I'll be here at 8:30. So with that, I do want to thank everybody who did get a chance to tune in. But it was live through the blogservator.com. Or if it was, you cut the archive show. All right, well, thank everybody for tuning in. Tonight is Tuesday. On YouTube, it'll be ISBHBK Norfolk Live. They start their classes at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I believe here in Albuquerque, if it's 7 there, it'll be...
If they're 2 hours ahead of us. It's 7 here, 9 there.
So if it starts at 7 there...
Oh, 7 there, it'll be 5 here.
The ISBHBK Norfolk Live Kazakhs class on YouTube will be at 5 p.m. live here at Albuquerque time. Obviously, if you're in California, it'd be 4 p.m. Albuquerque time. Or if you're in Texas, it will start at 6. All right, if you want to catch the YouTube show tonight. Because I did Blog Talk this morning, we don't have the ability to do Blog Talk tonight for class. But if you still catch AO or catch Michi, you still catch Kazaki tonight, ISBHBK Norfolk Live. We ask you go ahead and go to the YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, hit the notification button, and you'll be good to go. We might, I don't want to feel because I said, we might do a YouTube class tonight. We might continue this topic on YouTube tonight. I'm talking out time as we get that arranged. Hi, Israel, for that. My name is Rashaba.
Hi, Bob.
You know, Bob.
We would like to say shalom.
Shalom.